The following message was given by Brother Ricky Acosta in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, July 23rd, 2017. The title of the message is The Triune God Being Life to the Tripartite Man for the Fulfillment of God's Eternal Purpose. Scripture verses are Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 1.
And called us with a holy calling. Thank you, you've called us into your eternal purpose. We're here not in a vain way. Our lives are so full of meaning. Lord, we grant this time to you this morning in your word. We pray that you would speak again. Speak through your body. Speak to your body. And take your church on. We love you and we give ourselves to you again. Amen. Amen. Oh, saints, thank the Lord for the purpose of the ages. Amen. The purpose of the ages. In Ephesians 3, 11, in these few verses that we're starting with here, Ephesians 3, 9, 10, and 11, it has this phrase, the eternal purpose. The eternal purpose. And this phrase actually can be translated this way, the purpose of the ages. The purpose of the ages. This means it is a purpose for every age. It is a purpose from eternity past to eternity future, and it is the purpose that applies at every time. At every time, it applies now. It applies now. And I know that I think most of us know we are beginning our in-depth study or review of the messages that were released during the Memorial Day weekend in White Plains. Of course, the majority of us were there and went through that. And this will start our six-week study or six-week review. Maybe we could read that overall title, just the first line. That was the general subject of the entire conference. Let's read that together. Knowing
life and the church.
Amen. Yeah. Knowing life and the church. Knowing life and the church. And it's very interesting. We may come back to this point later. That in the very early church life, here among us, back in 1958 and also in 1960, when our dear brother Lee, Brother Witness Lee, came to visit here in the very early days. This was also the line that he fellowshipped with the church here. And so many years later, we have this conference, and the brothers are led, not just because, oh, that's what was covered, let's cover this again. Not in that way. I can testify to you the decision was not made that way. But the brothers were led to cover such a topic, knowing life and the church. Knowing life and the church. On one hand, maybe seemingly so basic. On the other hand, saints, on the other hand, like everything in the scripture, there are many layers. And the more we go on, the deeper we can go. Nearly in every area, every aspect, every topic. So there are still some riches here that we need to dig into. Knowing life and the church. And the title of the first message, let's read the next two lines together. The Triune God. Amen. Amen. You know, there are two hymns I want to mention at the beginning. These are two hymns we're very familiar with. Hymn 152 has these lines. Lord, this is verse 3, stanza 3. Lord, thy love is the expression of thy loving self divine. making life so full of meaning, harmonized with God's design. Saints, He has made our life so full of meaning. How? Because by His mercy and by His grace, it was not our doing, it was not our initiation, for not one of us here. He harmonized our lives with His design. In His heart, God has always had an eternal purpose, a purpose that, as I said, the Bible calls the purpose of the ages. And in different places, particularly in the book of Ephesians, it tells us that this purpose for centuries was hidden in God. Hidden in God. He did not manifest, He did not unveil this purpose. But thank the Lord that we are living in an age where He has. And He has manifested this purpose to us by His mercy. So saints, we have the possibility of living a life so full of meaning. I know that we are very familiar with this matter, many of us at least, of God's purpose, God's economy. And when we mention Genesis 1, 26 and 27, actually, we don't need our brother Benjamin to be here and repeat it for us. He did a good job while he was here to infuse us with the importance of these two verses, And actually, I can tell you, when this conference began with God's eternal purpose, a number of saints came to me and told me, how appropriate that such a conference given in New York would begin with Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And it is so. But saints, when our lives are harmonized, are in line with God's eternal purpose, our lives are full of meaning. There are many things that we can live without. There are many things that other people are seeking, setting their heart on. And sometimes the Lord, by His grace, He grants some of those things along the way. But actually, we can live without them. We can. If we are lined up with God's eternal purpose. Another hymn, actually I'd like to kind of borrow this hymn or apply it this way, is hymn number 1064. This hymn begins this way: I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I think many of us know this hymn. Actually, I don't know that we've sung this in the recent past. The chorus is, I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Oh, I could tell you, I learned this hymn when I was a little boy. And I've loved to sing this hymn because it's talking about our redemption and the Lord's love manifest to us, right? Manifest. And how this story, it says later, the other verses say, this story, for those who know it best, actually never gets old. Yeah. So it seems like an old, old story, but not to the ones who know it the best. And so I hope, saints, that actually the story of God's eternal purpose would be the same. It would, maybe we repeat so much, people might think, oh, this again? Actually, to those who know it best, we say, yes, this again. Because this is the purpose of the ages. We will never exhaust this story. We will never exhaust this story. And actually, saints, actually, that story, that old, old story that I used to sing about as a boy, is for this story, God's eternal purpose. So actually, we should be singing both stories. Actually, it's not two stories. It's really one story with these two parts. Because He saved us and called us with a holy calling. He saved us for his purpose. He saved us for his purpose. And in this conference, we went back to look at this matter of God's eternal purpose with from Genesis and also from the book of Ephesians. And I think many of the saints would fill in many of the details. I'm not burdened to touch all of those details. But saints, what I am struck with is that God is doing one thing. God is actually doing one thing. Maybe we could read on in the verses, continue in the from the beginning. Sorry, we'll go back to the beginning. Yeah, Ephesians. Now the next few verses in Ephesians 1. From these verses, 9, here we have this phrase, this particular phrase. Quite a number of times in Ephesians, it mentions this matter of God's either good pleasure or his will. The good pleasure. Maybe we could read 9 together. Making known to us. And in Ephesians 1, we can see, actually, it's revealed the triune God has been working. And this work began in eternity past because he chose us from the foundation of the world. He chose us that we might be, holy, that we might be predestinated unto sonship. It shows us he wants his redeemed people to be built up together as his corporate expression. And this is what he's working for. He is triune for this, for his dispensing. And this chapter 1 consummates in these two verses, 22 and 23. Let's read these together. And he subjected all things. Amen. Amen. His body.
The fullness of the one fills all in all.
And actually, I'd like to highlight the last three words in verse 22. In verse 22, to the church. To the church. To the church. That chapter, Ephesians 1, shows us that the triune God, all that he went through, the process that he passed through, in the Lord becoming a man, in the Lord living on the earth for the 33 and a half years, all the experiences that he gained and accumulated, his marvelous all-inclusive death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, Amen. His enthronement, Amen. Is all now to the church. Oh, dear saints, I'd like to impress you a little bit with this phrase, to the church. How about we say that phrase together? To the church. All he is to the church. All he has done is to the church. All he has accomplished is to the church. Okay, now actually, please scroll back up to chapter 3. Here, we have this phrase in verse 10. Okay, it says, in order that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. I like to highlight this phrase, through the church. Did I spell that right? Through. Through the church. The Lord's desire, his eternal purpose, these verses tell us, is that he wants here his multifarious wisdom, his attributes, to be expressed to the entire universe. But how? Not only in himself, but through a vehicle, through a vessel. And what is that? Very clearly, the church. The church. Oh, dear saints, today, anywhere, not only in this city, in this country, all over the earth. If you mention the word church to people, the concept, the immediate concept is so low. Just, if you say, where's the church? Just say, oh, that in the corner, or around the corner, that building there. Oh, God's view of the church, God's view of the church is so high. God's view of the church is that this is the vessel that through which he has his expression. And this expression accomplishes the desire of his heart, again, the purpose of the ages. So saints, in a sense, what is on God's heart can be summarized with just these two phrases. To the church and through the church. All that he is, now is in the Spirit. And what he wants to do is dispense all of his riches, all that he is, into us day by day, day by day. Maybe we can go down to Romans, the next verses after Ephesians 1. Romans should be right there. Romans 8. Let's read these two verses, 8, 28 and 29. And we know in Ephesians, it talks about this expression through the church as from that angle of expressing God's multifarious wisdom. Here in Romans, another angle, and that is that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And we see in Romans, the thought in Romans is that God's purpose is to save sinners and make them sons. Make them sons. And what are sons? Sons are the expression. Sons are the expression. I got to see my son recently because I was in the West Coast, and a number of people actually over the last couple of weeks came to me and said, you know, when your son shares in the meeting, says, if we close our eyes, said, it's just you. And then, and I know, actually, neither my wife or I see it exactly like that or hear it that way, but the saints say that. They say, oh, it just sounds like you. And then I'm told, because I've never actually seen him share a, you know, a little message to the young people, which he does every now and then, and that his mannerisms, he's just like dad. Just like, is that right, Gray? I think you guys have seen him. Yeah. So I found out my son is my expression. My son is my expression. Actually, not only my son, my girls too. Sometimes I see more in them. They do something, they say something, even a facial contortion, which is sometimes not so positive. I realize, oh, that's dad. That's dad. So with us, it's not always that positive. With him, it's always positive. He wants us to be his sons. His sons. Built up together as the church, corporately, that we would be his expression. But the point I want to highlight is actually in verse 28. I know we're very familiar with this verse. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to what? His purpose. Oh, dear saints, I know that I think we try, to comfort people using verse 28. Something happens, we try to help them. I don't know how much that really helps when we try to comfort others with this verse. But this week, since the conference, I have been, I would say, freshly impressed with this. That in everything, God is doing one thing. He's working everything for his purpose. And everything is for his dispensing to the church. Even all the little things. Even no AC on the subway is to the church. It's for his dispensing. Even when you're driving, and you know how it is. This is New York. You're driving, so many things. Somebody cutting here, somebody cutting there, somebody running across here, and maybe sometimes we do the same thing. But everything, every little thing, he's working for one thing. You know, in Matthew, the Lord said, I will build my church. And then in John, he says, my Father is working until now, and I also am working. Of course, the Lord's work of redemption, that is complete, that is finished, and only he could do. But we know from the book of Colossians, which we were just in recently, that the work for the building of the church, we still need to participate in. But how do we participate? Actually, it's not by doing things. It's not by doing so much. Maybe we think it's by serving or preaching the gospel. All those things are included. But the basic thing, as we're serving, as we're preaching the gospel, as we're just living our life, is to be open to that dispensing. And the enemy, the way that he tries to disrupt the building of the church, surely there are sometimes bigger things that come our way, that come into the church life, that come into maybe our family life, that come into our small group, some bigger problems. But actually, I think Satan's main target is just this: to interrupt the dispensing. To interrupt the dispensing. Isn't it so, saints, sometimes in our, even as we're having our time with the Lord, even there, as we're having our time with the Lord and we're aimed at him and we're focused on him, sometimes doesn't it happen that all of a sudden, a thought just comes and takes you away? Maybe. And maybe it's just for 2 minutes. Just for 2 minutes. But you're only spending, you're only allotting 10 minutes to be there. So the enemy is really sneaky. And the thoughts, you know, maybe it's something important. It's something that you were really needing to take care of yesterday. But you forgot. But when do you remember? When you're with the Lord. Does that ever happen to you? A little thought. Sometimes it's, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. I wonder how many of you have ever had that. In the middle of your time, he just comes to interrupt the dispensing. But maybe we have a sweet time with the Lord in the Word. Very rich, quality time. But, sometimes as we leave our room, as we leave our place of fellowship with the Lord, already distractions come our way. And of course, we have to take care of all our responsibilities in our daily life. But saints, the dispensing doesn't need to be interrupted to the church, so that in our daily life, through the church. You know, this week also, we just completed the college training for the churches here in the Northeast. You know, in these last 2 weeks, we've had 5 locations where many students, I believe it's over 1,000 or so, came together in 5 locations to have the college training. And the overall topic of that training was knowing, seeing, and gaining God in an age of godlessness. Knowing, seeing, and gaining God in an age of godlessness. And I don't know if some of the students that are here, do you remember the first word of the first message? first word of the first message, knowing. Knowing. That was knowing God in an age, it was that title. You know the first word of the second message? Believing. Believing. The first word of the third message?
Enjoying.
Enjoying. The first word of the fourth message?
Enjoying.
Oh, two messages began with enjoying. Double enjoying. And then message five? Entering into. Entering into the desire of God's heart. The sixth message?
Seeing.
Very good. Seeing and gaining. And then the last message began with?
Becoming.
Becoming the mystery of godliness. Becoming the great mystery of godliness in an age of godlessness. So not only we need to know God, we need to gain Him, so that by our gaining Him, actually the church becomes the mystery of godliness. Actually, I want the college brothers and sisters and those who attended to realize, do you see the burden of that training? It's just the same. It's just the same. We need to know God. We need to see God. And we need to be gaining Him every day. Then through us, there's an expression. There's an expression. We touched upon this with the college students, that we need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be the light of the world. That's not by our doing anything. It's not necessarily by our saying anything. It's just by our person. Our person, if we are under this fresh dispensing, there'll be an expression. There'll be an expression. So, saints, we need to enjoy Him as our life. And that was the second part of this introductory message. Maybe we could go on with the verses to, you could find, please, Genesis 1:26 again. Yeah, from there. Actually, let's go to Genesis 2:9. Yeah, from there. In this message, and I think this was another striking point which some of the saints will share about, we saw that this matter of the triune God being life to the tripartite man, runs through the entire Bible. This thought, this concept runs through the entire Bible. And we have some verses here that are examples. So in Genesis 2, after God created man, He put him in front of the tree of life. And we know the prominence that this matter of the tree of life has. And even the reflection between the first two chapters of the Bible and the last two chapters of the Bible. So in Genesis, we start with this matter of life. Then here, 1 John. Let's look at 1 John 5. Let's read these two verses. And this is the testimony
that God gave to us
eternal life. Amen. He who has the Son has the life. And he who does not have the Son of God. And saints, this makes it abundantly clear that life is a person. Life is a person. Life is just the triune God Himself in the person of the Son dispensed into us. I think this verse, I learned when I was very young, probably 12 or 13, and I was trained by those who brought the gospel to me to share this verse as the gospel to people. This is one of the first verses I used. If you have the Son, you have the life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the life. I really like this verse together with John 3:16. You know, in John 3:16, I think maybe the most famous verse in the whole Bible, even unbelievers might be familiar with this, for God so loved the world, right? God so loved the world that everyone who believes into Him, right, would not perish, but have eternal life. But it's so sad in a way when I was first saved, the thought that was put into me was that by believing, the eternal life that it talks about is eternal life for the future. For the future. I didn't realize that it meant that I get a life today that's eternal and takes me into the future. So thank the Lord that we've come to see this life is a person. This life is a person. Then in the Gospel of John, we don't need to read all of them, but John 1, John 10, John 11. You know, I was struck this way. One time in John 1, it refers to the Lord as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is John the Baptist talking about him. But the Lord Jesus himself several times says, I'm the life. I'm the life. And I came that you might have life. So even how much this is emphasized shows us redemption is for life imparting. Redemption is for life. Then keep going with the verses. Let's go to Jeremiah 2 and Psalm 36. I think many saints enjoyed these two portions this week. Even in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, the Lord calls himself the fountain of living waters. And he says that his people have committed two evils. You know, when you read the account of the children of Israel, they actually committed many evils. But he summarizes with these two things. And the first one is, they forsook me. They forsook me. And then they went to hew out other cisterns. Cisterns, you know, are basins for water. Basins for water. All that the children of Israel did was trying to get some supply somewhere else. This is the divine thought. He is the fountain of living waters. And again, saints, again, I would say the enemy's greatest temptation is that we forsake the fountain of living waters throughout our day, many times during the day. But we need to return. We need to return. Because the way that we build the church today is by enjoying life. Life is for the church. And this was a strong point in this message. Actually, the church comes out of the triune God, our experience of the triune God is life. So we need to stay here in this transmission to the church, so that he can have his expression. And then in Psalm 36, how sweet in verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. With you is the fountain of life. Saints, we need to make sure that nothing in our lives, including our spiritual lives, including our service to the Lord, that nothing becomes a substitute for Christ himself, for our drinking him, for our enjoying him. We need to always come back to the fountain of life and drink him. And I would say, as we emphasize this with the college students during this week very much, that I would say we need to pray for one another's time with the Lord every morning. Every morning. That the enemy would not interrupt this. That the enemy would not attack this. Because really, really, this matter of our spending the personal time with the Lord every day to set the direction of our day, to set the direction of our heart, has a lot to do with this process being worked out for the rest of the day. It doesn't mean that if we have morning watch in the morning, we're going to stay in the Spirit all day long. But I tell you, when we do have our time with the Lord in the morning, isn't there a better chance that our heart stays? Or when we forsake the fountain of living waters unintentionally, it's much easier to come right back. So may we pray for this, that the enemy would not have any ground, particularly in our times with him every morning. Okay, let's continue. Let's go in Romans. In Romans, we see the tripartite man. We won't take the time to read all of the verses. But here in verse 10, we see the Spirit, our human spirit. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. In verse 6, we see that the mind set on the Spirit is life. And then in verse 11, we see that he even would dispense life into our mortal bodies. He wants to all day long. He is doing one thing. He is intending to dispense himself into our whole being. That is the one thing God is doing so that he can have the church as his corporate expression. And again, I think we repeat verses 28 and 29. He causes all things to work together for good, meaning for this, saints. So may we have the mercy and the grace to avail ourselves of his dispensing in every situation, in every situation. Amen. I'd like to actually go back to, I think we have 2 Timothy 1 there. Yes, these two verses. Maybe we could, let's read these two verses. 1:9 and 3:10. 1:9 and 3:10. Let's read together. Go. Amen. 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 But you have closely followed my teaching, my conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love. In chapter 1, it says that we have been saved us, called us with a holy calling, according to his own purpose. His own purpose. That is God's purpose. But in verse 10, something a little different. Here, Paul is speaking to young Timothy, and he's saying, you have closely followed my teaching. Of course, the word my is not repeated, but it's implied. My teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my endurance. Paul was a pattern, and he was recognizing. Here, he's not exhorting Timothy to follow him. He's pointing out, you have done this. You have been doing this. And one point that was brought out here is that here, Paul talks about my purpose. My purpose. So this shows that for Paul, this man, God's purpose had become his purpose. And we all need to have this testimony. This is my purpose. This is my purpose. And actually, all those around us should be clear. This is my purpose. We should give this kind of impression even to our children, to our children. This is my purpose. And that this could become their purpose as well. If so, saints, if so, then it's not only to the church, but through the church. Something's being expressed. And you know, saints, what was shared in this conference, this was a word released actually to the whole recovery, all of the seven feasts, all the conferences we have. They're a word that actually the word goes around the globe. And it's to all the churches, and it does fit the situation of all the churches. But this word on knowing Christ and the church was spoken here, and it was spoken to us. And I was considering the seven churches in Revelation. To each of them at the end of the epistles, those seven short epistles in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there's a word spoken to each church. And then at the end it says that you should have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So that means you should receive your epistle, but you should also receive all the other ones too. You should receive something from all of those. Yet, each one was written to a specific place. And I feel this way, that this word, although, yes, it is spoken to the churches, this is the word that under the Lord's sovereignty was released here. And we need to give an ear. And we need to give an ear. And we need to pay attention to this matter of knowing Christ and the church. Amen. Knowing Christ and the church. And not assume that we already know everything. Not assume that we've already been constituted with everything. And be open. Lord, speak to us. Amen. Strengthen us. Amen. Strengthen our vision. Amen. Strengthen our living. Amen. You know, these days, I think we all know the Lord is moving in and through the church. Really in an unprecedented way. Now we have new district meetings, and of course most recently in the Bronx, and we are still before the Lord about having another district meeting in Manhattan, another district meeting in Brooklyn, in the South, in Brooklyn, another district meeting possibly here in Queens. The Lord is moving in White Plains. The Lord is moving in Stony Brook. The Lord is moving in Jersey City. And it's very possible we could have that many meeting halls and new churches within a very short time. But saints, what are we propagating? What are we propagating? We're propagating our vision. We're propagating life and the church. So we need, as the Lord is moving, we need those who are going out to really know life, to have a vision of life, and to know how to minister life so that they can do a work out of life so that nothing of what we're doing falls into a movement, but would be the current move of the Lord. And not only life, they need to know the church. They need to know what is the church. Because again, as we spread out, as more are being raised up to bear responsibility, they need to be constituted with the truth and the experiences of the church. So I hope that as we go through in these coming five more weeks, I hope we would pray. I hope we would be very exercised, that the Lord would really constitute us with these words. Because this was the word spoken to us at this time. And we feel this is for strengthening the Lord's move in New York City and the whole metropolitan area, even for the whole Northeast, that the Lord would have a way in us and through us for the building of the church. Amen. How about we sing one more song? Could you help us, Brother Stephen? 1325. Yes? Oh, our brother will share something first.
Don't worry, I'll be very brief. Actually, to the church.
Amen.
And through the church.
Amen.
You know, this is really so, so crucial. To the church, God is transmitting the Lord Jesus as a head over all things. Through the church, the church is manifesting the wisdom of God to the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies,
Amen.
To Satan and his followers,
Amen.
As well as all the angels.
Amen.
But the church, we are in the church.
Amen.
So we have to be that expression. You know, we're all familiar with Genesis 1, 26 and 27, right? 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion." Well, there's no dominion if there's no image. And it's very interesting, in verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So how crucial it is, the expression. And where foremost is that expression in our speaking. Amen. That we can minister Christ. Amen. In our speaking, we can express Him. Amen. So may the Lord touch us concerning our speaking, that we would not speak loosely, but we would ask the Lord, Lord, should I say this? Do you want to say this? Or you don't want to say it? May we be that exercise. And I would ask a favor of all of us. Since the college conference was somewhat similar, how about if at the beginning of the sharing, we have sharing from the young people? Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Now let's sing.